Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stephen the Warman Writes Kickfighting Podcast Show. I'm your host, Stephen the Warman. You are listening to this podcast in one of two ways. Either you are at my blog, which is lordgaul.podbean.com, or you are in the most efficient way to listen to the show. Just enter Warman Kickfighting Show into the iTunes search engine. I'll go ahead and jump right into the action this week. I mean, we've got a lot of good and just good performances throughout, but one of them in particular I'm going to really focus on because it just shows the importance of, you know, believing in yourself and taking big steps, you know. So I'll go ahead and just talk about, I may have got some fights in the card, but I'm going to go ahead and revisit it. The Risen 15 happened over the past couple weeks, and on that card, there was a couple of kickboxing matches, including one of the superstars, Intention Nasukawa. I'll go ahead and break down those fights. Two in particular stand out, or two of the particular are the ones that I remember. Thalisson Gomez Fiera gets a victory over Tega by TKO stoppage, and good win for Fiera, you know what I'm saying, trying to make a name for himself. He's that connection between Brazilian fighters and fighting in Japan. There's a long line of it, so he getting this kickboxing opportunity is really, really cool. So shout out to him. Tega, of course, you guys have talked about him several times in the show. He has all the tools to be one of the best fighters in his division and the world. It's just that, you know, he's got the speed, he's got the power, he's got the low kick. When he gets into his offense, he's on point. But man, he just has mental lapses, and he's not comfortable all the time, and he has moments where he gives up offense that he doesn't need to. It's just a mental thing with him. All the tools in the world. We'll see what happens, because clearly, you know, that promotion's in his backyard, so he's going to keep getting opportunities. But it's a big deal, man. Like, I want to see more work from him as far as getting better and winning big fight opportunities. Fiera, you know, just it's always weird because the division isn't necessarily the fullest, so they've got to decide how they're going to bring him in and how they're going to move him, or if they're going to use him again. All those are questions that we hope to have answered over time, but good job by getting the TKO stoppage in this one for Gomez. Gomez Ferreira. The other fight I'm going to talk about, of course, you got to talk about it. Tenshin Nasukawa gets a TKO victory, knee to the body of this is the finish in the third round of Fritz Begton. Nasukawa doing the Nasukawa thing is what is expected. He is an elite striker. He's got so many tools for winning fights. The dude is a legendary talent as far as someone that we found right from the core who has the ability to excel and do well. He's that guy. This guy is good. I'm all about him. I want him to continue to get big fight opportunities. And, of course, as you can imagine, I want the big fight. You know, I want him to, of course, one day fight. Just in my personal opinion, you know, it's probably the biggest fight in kickboxing, if it happens, Tenshin versus Takeru. Like, it's just the fight has to happen, you know. And I'm excited for him to continue winning. But most importantly, for him to keep getting stoppage victories until that opportunity comes. This dude is good, you know, so hopefully he'll keep staying on it, keep getting better, and fighting at the highest level. As for Risen, I know that they are mostly MMA, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's awesome, but I would really like it, or really love it, if they could just spend a moment to prioritize giving us a little bit better map, you know, like a lot of times we don't know what's coming next from them, we don't know who's going to fight next, and they've got some really talented fighters. I just want to see what's coming around the corner next. I want something in concrete so that we can kind of build off of it. So shout out to them for putting the promotion together, for using kickboxing, for giving Tenshin a platform. But I would love it if they did a weight class, maybe even a one-night tournament, or anything that we can get more stars and then more of a map for how they're going to do the next possible fight. So Tatnev had their event. They had a it took place in Kazan, Russia. I won't talk about all the fights, but Francesco, I believe I'm pronouncing his name right, Zaha, he gets a victory over Li Wei. That's a solid win. Head kick KO there. That's the kind of win that puts you on the map with me. Now, again, Li Wei, I've talked about him before. Solid guy. Not Wei Lu, who I've confused those two before. He's a solid kickboxer, and I want to see more from him. But that's a big win for Zaha. That guy is someone to pay attention to. Just make sure you remember the name, Francisco Zaha. in particular because I could be pronouncing it wrong. I'll spell it out. FranceSco. That is the first name, last name, Xhaja. Be on the lookout for that. I want to see more, but that was a good night, good start, good head kick. Musa Slatev gets a victory over Yu Jung Hong. That was extra rounds. Most of these are going to be extra rounds because of how they do the rules in TATNAF. For those of you who are unfamiliar with it, basically the way TATNAF does their matching, they have it so that you have to get a knockdown or get a KO in the first three rounds, or it's automatically an extra round, and in the extra round, they will make a decision. So that's why you see extra rounds all along their cards. Claudio Estrada gets a victory over Kostin Minku by KO. Here's a name from the blast from the past, Yuri Besmertny. Didn't become what I thought it was going to be, still had a really solid career. Yuri Besmertny gets a victory over Jung Cheng Xiang. We had Wuxing Zhang gets a victory over Vladimir Sayuk. Artur Hamidov, excuse me, I know I did that one wrong. Artur Hamidolim. Hamidolin gets a victory over Atem Setsev. And then the last one, Zikwe Zhang gets a victory over Ahmed Makolov-Gov. So that is it for your TATNIF card. I just broke it down. I was able to see some clips from it, but not all of the fights. So I couldn't give you, like, you know, fight for fight, one step at a time like I usually do. And I'm going to focus on trying to prioritize that and doing that more in future. But they really did put on a good show. I mean, I'm excited always to see TATNAF put out cards. I do wish they would change their rule structure because I think it's easier to follow if people can say, okay, this person won a round, this person didn't win a round, yada, yada, yada. You know, like, that's kind of, you want to be able, people from the audience should be able to decide who the winner is. That's very important, and I don't think that that's the case. We're moving on to one championship. We're all over the place. We went to Indonesia, you know, we're in China, we're in Russia, we're in Japan, we're all over the place. Going to go ahead and jump right into the biggest win by far of the last, probably of the year, that happened on one championship. I'll talk about some of the other fights before I get into it. Andrew Miller gets a victory over Mohammed bin Muhammad. Good win for Andrew Miller. You like when you see that kind of international win in your resume. Hopefully they'll continue to use Andrew Miller. I believe he's based in Thailand right now, but good stuff for him. Kenta Yamada gets a victory over Davidis. Daniela, that was by a split decision. Kenta Yamada, solid fighter, definitely stay active. I'm glad they're using him. They're just putting on better fights. They need a better map, but they are for sure putting on better fights in the one championship series. And then, of course, we've got Young Pomrung gets a victory over Tyler Hardcastle. Knockout, brutal, brutal knee on that one. Good stuff there. But all of this kind of lead up was good fights, good kickboxing action, good full rules Muay Thai action for these cards with the smaller gloves. But the thing that I really wanted to focus on and get to was the big victory of Jonathan Haggerty as he defeats Sam A. It should be noted, and it's true, Haggerty looked like a damn monster next to Sam A. You know what I'm saying? Like, he looked like he was three leg classes bigger. He looked way bigger. But Thais always fight up because they're used to it, you know? While Haggerty was, you know, going to school and learning, going to uni, I should say, with a version of high school. I don't think he went to college. Or, excuse me, I don't think he went to university. He went to college, which is be high school for us in the States. While he was doing education and focusing on that, Sam had already been a fighter, you know, probably since before he was, you know, probably since 7, 8, 9. I'm not sure Sam A's exact start, but he grew up in this sport and this is all he knew, whereas Haggerty found it. And Haggerty showed the skill. He did a good job of being the bigger man. His boxing seemed like it had such an effect on him. The kicking, he caught Sam A clean with a nice teep that knocked Sam A off balance. The kind of embarrassing thing that happens when an American or a Westerner goes against a Thai. He was able to catch Sam A clean where his teep scored as Sam A was throwing a kick. He scored a shot off of another kick that was a knockdown, at least a knockdown in my opinion. I just thought that the rounds clearly went to the bigger, stronger Jonathan Haggerty. Sam A, still great, but I cannot stress to you enough how huge a win this was for Jonathan Haggerty. It's probably the biggest win for an English fighter, maybe English fighter against a four rank. That should be important because I would definitely. There are some big fights with England versus England. You guys have heard me talk about it in the show before. But I think that probably since the Liam Harrison win over Anouat, you know, like that's the other big one that I can think of, the rematch there. But Jonathan Haggerty, this is a big time win. Hopefully they continue to move him as the champion. Shout out to Vinny Shorman. He did this great long post where he talked about how healthy Full Rules Muay Thai is with the new generation of fighters. And he brought up everybody. I mean, like, literally everyone. From Iman Barlow to Haggerty, as we talked about here, to Liam Harrison that's getting back in there. He brought up everybody. So, Jonathan Haggerty, you are the future. Eyes are on you. We want to see how you move as a fighter and how you progress in your career. The stage is yours, my friend. Hopefully you will continue to get big wins. Continue to put on great performances and continue to draw us all in because that was really, really great stuff. We go back to Full Rules Muay Thai. We've got one that event that just happened yesterday as of the time of me recording. But it had some notable fights. And here goes one that I'm going to spend some time on. Janet Todd gets a victory over Qin Long Wang knockout. Big time low kicks. Low kicks were the story of this fight card. A lot of people chopping away in this card. But here's why I want to give credit to Janet Todd. Janet Todd was a high ranked amateur here in America. And shout out to Chase Corley for putting her and adding her to the team. Shout out to her coach Brian. Like, she had been a high ranked amateur. Now, she could stay amateur and continue to have high female opportunities. You know, like, just stay there. She could still do TBA. She could still do all the tournaments. I love that she dared to be great, and she went over to China. She lost the first one on her first visit over to China, but she gets the second opportunity, and she puts on a clinic. Now, it should be noted, she was way bigger, way better than Qin Long Wang. Way better. Looked stronger throughout, but she put together a healthy low kick game. She had consistent flow. She had a high kick knockdown. She just performed beautifully. We need more Janet Todds in America, period. We need more people daring to be great, more Janet Todds, more Troy Joneses, more Matt Bakers. We need more people to have good amateur careers and say, I'm going to dare to be great and go pro. It doesn't necessarily mean that your resume has to be in America, and that's why a lot of people aren't doing it. You have to go somewhere else to build a resume. What's wrong with that? You know what I'm saying? Go out there. Dare to be great. Find greatness. There's no reason for anyone to just sit down and relax and not pursue high-level opportunities. It is to their benefit to go for it, to go after people, to really, really fight and compete and find out if you're the best in the world. It doesn't matter to me if you win or lose. It does matter that you try. And I love that Todd and her team are like, we're going to go pro. We're not going to stay amateur. We're going to find out if we could do something with this. They brought her out there, Indonesia. She put in some work. And then I just loved looking down my Facebook wall and seeing all the support that people had for Janet Todd and talking about her victory. And then first it was just, you heard she won. And then the clips started to pop up. And then you see the low kick work. Shout out to Janet Todd. You did good stuff. Good victory for you. Next, Super Light gets a victory over Rue Botello. Unanimous decision there. Super Light, of course, is a superior fighter. Very, very talented. Savas Michael, or Michelle. I've heard it pronounced twice, but I believe it's Michael. He gets a victory over Sing Tong Noi. Man, this kid, Savas, is the truth. Pay attention to this guy. Savvas. Michael. I talked about Haggerty. One period of time, that's going to be the fight down the road. Savas Michael is good. Like, he is, Michael, excuse me, is good. I really, really like this talented fighter. We hope to see more of him down the road. Xing Long Zhang gets a victory over Pinnacos Yusuf. Yusuf is a regular in China. He's doing a good job building a resume. But Zhang, the superior kickboxer, was able to score cleaner offense throughout. Really, really good stuff through him. We also have Rod Tang, Jit Mong. Yeah, there are two more on this card that I wanted to make sure I mentioned. Rod Tang, Jit Mong Nam, who was in the fight of the year for me last year, gets a victory over Song Dai. Knockout. This says strikes, but let me tell you something. Rod Tang was low kicking to death. Between Janet Todd and Rod Tang, those are your low kick killers for this card. It was so much fun to watch. The fight that he had with Tenshin was Fighter of the Year last year. And we all hoped he was going to be in that tournament that was announced, the Rise tournament that was announced, and that went down in March, or that started in March. Didn't happen. Contract-wise, things worked better for him to be in this promotion. He went out there and just decimated Saktai. Just brutal, brutal low kicks. Superior throughout. Good pressure offense. Found his stoppage. Really, really good stuff for Rod Tang. I just want to see more of you, buddy. Want to see more of you. Final fight of the night. Oh, I got two more. Pachindi gets a victory over Mamori. Elias Mamori is a talented guy, just not Pachindi. Just different level, more skill, more consistent offense scored throughout. This was for the title. And again, Mamori did a good job of competing. Like, I thought he did a good job of fighting at a high level. But he is fighting a guy who's just better, you know. And again, maybe it wasn't his night. Maybe he has the tools different on a different night. But on this night, Pachindi was better. He showed more offense consistently, and I felt most of the rounds, and did a good job of getting out of there clean. And he is your bantamweight title holder. Last fight of the card, Nong Oh gets a victory over Hiroki Suzuki. Suzuki was the debated shoot boxing championship. He has a victory in there, and I remember watching it thinking, I don't know if I think that that's a win or not. I remember thinking that, but you know, it's I won't say I don't know if I remember thinking I don't know if it's a win or not. I remember thinking that when he had the fight with, you know, Zakaria Zoghari, I thought that Zakaria won clear after round three, and then I thought that he one round, the extra round. So the double extension is where Suzuki scored a standing knockdown. And they literally just called it a TKO because Suzuki jumped on the ropes and started celebrating. It was at the end of the round. It probably should have just been a, you know, 10-8 loss. But they pretty much rewarded him basically based on the antics of Suzuki after the knockdown. So Nango dominant in this one, just having more skill, was able to fight his offense clean. He is your featherweight title holder. Really, really good stuff for Nong Oh. I'm going to go ahead and wrap this show up with some notes, and I'm going to also talk about the new weight classes added to Combat Press, which is always important that they've done a great job throughout of prioritizing the smaller weight classes, so I wanted to really give them their due here on the show. Going to go ahead and start off with the obvious. Badahari signs a 3-year deal with Glory. Now, again, a lot of people were wondering about this because he's also in the midst of a suspension due to a doping violation. That ends towards the end of this year. But he committed to the brand for 3 years. And, of course, it means that the biggest star in kickboxing is going to be fighting again. If this guy fights in Holland, everyone's coming out to watch. If this guy fights in Germany, everyone's coming out to watch. I would love it if we could work something out with Japan and maybe get him on that card down the road. I would love it if something like that happened. Don't need it to happen, but I'd love it if something like that happened. He is still the biggest star in kickboxing. Where you rank him as a heavyweight is up to you. I'm only saying that if this guy fights, everyone's paying attention to it. As the heavyweights go, he is the guy. So shout out to him there. We've got a Glory card coming up a week from today. That's going to have some really good talent on it, so I'm excited about that. There have been some other signings to big organizations. I saw that Rafi got signed by 1FC. I love that there's high-level opportunities coming, you know, and I just want to keep people active and working and winning because I really do love kickboxing, and I love Muay Thai, and I love that we're doing such a good job of giving these guys the platform that we need. Going to go ahead and jump right into this this rankings. The new additions that they decided to add, just talked about 65 kgs and under, and then like lower weight classes. Hold on, let me go to them specifically. Bring it up so that I'm not just ranting. They have a 57.5 kg and below, and then they added a 57.6 to 60 kg weight classes. So that's two smaller weight classes for some of the better fighters in the world. I'll go ahead and run off some of the names. I'll start with the flyweight division, as they call it. So this is below. And you know what? I'll go ahead and start off with how they did 60 kgs and below. I'll start with that. Kenta Hayashi is number one, of course, because he beat Koya Arabi. Wiiru, of course, has got the great resume because he won the K1 tournament. He lost to Arabi, but still really, really talented. Saksan is there. Wang Wengfeng, Yudo Shinohara, Gunapar Wurasarek, Yannick Rian, Lian Qingbang, and Hamza Esseli. That is a really, really solid group, and that is your 60.1 kgs to 64.9, and then we go to 57.6 to 60 kgs. This is the one, of course, that Japan has produced a lot of high-level athletes in this area. The two stars are right at the top. Takeru's sitting there at number one. Tenshin Nasukawa sitting there at number two. Kusuke Yamayama, and then we got Liana Pettis, Koji, Asahashi Hirotaka, Yumi Seiko, Elias, Enha Achi, and then Sarik Rikukumi, and then Kotaro Shimano. That is your list for flyweight. I love the list. It's top heavy. You know, of course, this is one where you're looking at the top, and then the other guys just kind of mix in there. But still, solid list, and any matchup between any of those guys would be fun. And then lastly, we got 57.5. Yoshiki Takai, not only is he very, very talented, he's a star for the future. Super, super talent. Akihiro Kaneko, Alex Rivas, Yuta Murakoshi, Masahashi Kimura, Gunji Taito, Yuki Egawa, Hiramu Sekio. I like Sekio. I've seen him fight a couple times. I'm curious. I love that he made this list. I was actually surprised by it. Astemir Borsov. I want to see more of him against the other elite competition. I like that he snuck on here. And then the last guy is Wang Zhongzhuang. So shout out to Combat Press for taking the time to put those lists together. At no time in kickboxing have we ever had someone commit to doing a rankings for the whole world like we're seeing with Combat Press. I've seen people put lists together. I've seen ones just for the heavyweight. I remember when there was the gentleman who... He said that because there were so many ways to win at heavyweight, there were so many different weight classes for heavyweight, like they really did prioritize, you know, having him, or he really did prioritize heavyweights. And then when people ask about other weight classes, he just didn't feel as confident doing it because we didn't have the K1 model, it was harder for him to follow. Back then, in the early 2000s, it was easy to follow who was great at kickboxing in the heavyweight division because we all knew all roads led to the K1 World Grand Prix. So whoever you are, no matter what you were or how good you were, there was nothing more important than keeping yourself in the path of going to the highest kickboxing organization. So luckily for us, that was something that was accomplished for a lot of guys, and it made it easy for us to follow the guys who made it and didn't make it. You know, Paul Swinski ended up getting to the highest level, didn't win at all, but he ended up, you know, getting there and have a really good career. We were able to watch that progression. And then, you know, you have guys who just kind of had one-off opportunities. But just the way that it all worked, it was really, really easy to follow the heavyweight division. And there are people who had good rankings for heavyweight. But all the other weight classes, it was just too much. You know, there were too many leagues. There was, you know, Super League, and there was, you know, all the small fights that were happening in Holland. And then there was It's Showtime. And then, you know, just Max was the only thing that gave anyone smaller an opportunity to fight. But Max was one weight class. It was 154 pounds or 70 kgs. The reason why that's got history today is because of what happened in 2000, 2001, when Masato, Krause, those guys put that weight class on the map. So that's how we see it as stars today. If you did rankings then, you would have heavyweight, and if you were lucky, you'd get 70 kgs. You wouldn't get anything else. But if you had rankings today, you look at what Combat Press is doing, they're doing everything from the top to the bottom. And I really, really appreciate that. Liverkick did put together something for a little while, but Liverkick, we don't have it anymore. Nothing as extensive as what you're seeing from Combat Press. So shout out to the people at Combat Press. I really appreciate not just the consistency of them putting up the rankings list, but man, do they do a great job. And I mean a great job of giving us a picture. 'Cause that's all rankings are. They are a picture of, if you look at this era of kickboxing, this is what it looks like. If you've got someone who is 7 and you feel like they're better than the person that's 4, they're still in the top 10. You know what I'm saying? Don't go running after someone with a knife because they've got that separation. The reason why people do rankings is because they are a picture of what the fight world looked like in that weight division at this particular time. That is it. It does not mean that the person who is number 2 is 700 times better than the person who is at number 5. Or it doesn't mean that, well, wait a minute, number 6 beat number 3 one time, so why is he like that? Doesn't happen that way. It's just the resume of number 3 could have, you know, 15 elite wins, and the resume of number 7 could have 1 elite win. Just because you beat that one guy, it doesn't mean you beat all the others. It's not like the Highlander, you know what I'm saying? There is no one guy. You know, it's just you keep fighting, and then your resume will make you considered the best, or the second best, or the third best. And you can always move based on performance. And they can always move down based on performance. So shout out to Combat Press and the stuff that they're doing. That's it for my podcast for today, everybody. I will be back. I might do one in the middle of next week. But more likely, I will probably wait until after the Glory card that's going down in Utrecht. But shout out to all the listeners. I appreciate you guys for following and staying with me. God bless. Be safe out there. And keep enjoying that high-level kickboxing action. If you've got questions, go ahead and tweet them to me. I'll try to get them on the show. Or you can Facebook message me. I've had people ask me questions there. But, man, I really do enjoy the sport. I enjoy seeing the buzz that happens when an athlete wins. I'm all about the things that I saw on my Facebook wall after Haggerty won and after Janet Todd won was just what I do this for. It was so wonderful to see how many people were... Great win, awesome win. Yeah, he was bigger, but yeah, he was smaller, but it's not. I mean, just remember, this is the same guy that came out like last year, same way. It's the same guy that came out and just absolutely put on a clinic with Fabio Pinca. That guy got beat by Haggerty today. Shout out to him. Really good stuff. Good stuff for Janet Todd. Thanks everybody for listening. Keep following. Keep talking about kickboxing. Keep making the sport we love big. God bless. Peace.